Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I'm going to speak to you today on a subject that answers this question. What does the Bible say about pestilence? We're going through a time in which a virus is spreading around the world, and many people are wondering what God and His Word have said about this. What does God's Word say about disease? What does God's Word say about pandemics? What does God's Word say about plagues and pestilence? Is it God's fault? Why is God letting this happen? How should I respond? And so today we're going to look at this subject of what does the Bible say about pestilence and disease? And I want to begin this morning by defining four quick words for you, because I think that'll be helpful for us. I'm going to use the word pestilence today, and here's the definition of pestilence. The word pestilence is a fatal epidemic disease. A fatal epidemic disease. And as I looked in the scriptures for a word that I think best fits with the COVID-19 crisis, I thought probably pestilence best fits with that, although maybe it's not a word that you're hearing in the news as much to describe this. I think it fits well with this. So a pestilence is a fatal epidemic disease. What does the word epidemic mean? You hear people maybe using some of that expression. The word epidemic means it's extremely widespread. Extremely widespread. What does the word pandemic mean? The word pandemic simply means it's spread across the whole country, the whole region, the whole world. That's what the word pan means. It refers to the idea of all. So it covers all those things. Now, how about the word plague? Probably you haven't heard a lot of people talking about the word the COVID crisis in the idea of a plague. But what is a plague? Well, a plague is an epidemic disease that causes high mortality. That would fit. But another definition of a plague is any widespread affliction. In the book of Exodus, we're going to be looking there in just a moment. We often think of God bringing upon the Egyptians the 10 what? Plagues. All right, but we could call them 10 disasters. Because the word plague simply means a strike, a stroke, an affliction that comes upon someone. That's the concept that is here. And yes, sometimes it's a medical one, but of the 10 plagues that are brought out in Exodus chapter 9, how many of them, do you know? How many of them are actually pestilences? Well, at least two of them are. All right, so there is a little bit of a difference between a plague and a pestilence in the Word of God. Yet sometimes we do use the word plague to describe something like a pestilence. We think of the bubonic plague. But yet we can also speak of a plague in another sense as well. We can talk about a housing development being plagued with mice. Or you might feel that you are plagued with problems. So we understand some of these different words, plague and pandemic and epidemic and then pestilence. And so today we're talking about a pestilence, a fatal widespread disease. What does the Bible have to say about this? If you're talking to people and they're wondering, what might you be able to say? And my goal is to try to educate us a little bit as to what the Word of God has to say. My goal is to encourage you with what the Word of God has to say. And number three, my goal is to equip you so that you can talk to other people about what the Word of God has to say about a pestilence. And so let's ask God's blessing as we begin. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. And though written thousands of years ago, it has something to say for the COVID-19 crisis today. Lord, you have said something about pestilence. And I pray that you'd help the folks watching to listen with their minds, listen with their hearts, and focus in upon the Word of God, and that your Spirit would take God's Word and make changes in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to give you five truths from the Word of God as to what God has to say about pestilence. The first one's going to be brought out here in Exodus chapter number 9. And let's pick it up here in verse number 14. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 14. Again, I want to encourage you, open your scriptures, Open your cell phone, if that's where you have the scriptures on it, and look at Exodus chapter 9, verse 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people. Why? That thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up. He's talking to Pharaoh. For to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. I want you to see five things that God does through pestilence. And one of the things that he does, the first thing that I want you to realize that God is doing through this pestilence in our day and time is this. God always brings glory to himself through pestilence. God always brings glory to himself. Now, let me ask you this. When I say that God brings glory or God brings praise or God brings fame to himself, do you think that that sounds arrogant? I mean, if I said to you, I'm going to bring glory to myself, you would say, Pastor, you sound arrogant. Does that sound arrogant to you? What do you think, Amos? Does that sound arrogant to you? It might sound arrogant at first to think about the idea that God is going to bring glory to himself. But it isn't when you realize who God is. When you think about that he is the only God who exists. When you think about he is the God who has all the power in the universe. And any power or ability that you or the U.S. or any medical doctor has is from God. When you think about the fact that God knows everything and any power or ability and knowledge that those people have is from God. That your very existence is from God. Well, then that means God did provide everything and God does deserve to be glorified. And so God uses pestilence to show off God's greatness. Now, here the Word of God tells us that the first pestilences that are recorded in Scripture, here, these two plagues, they're brought out here. Look back at verse number 3. Would you open your Scripture and look at verse 3? It says, Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, and upon the asses, and upon the camels, and upon the oxen, and upon the sheep, there shall be a very grievous murrain. Now, that word murrain there is maybe not a word that you use every day, but it talks about diseases that animals catch. And you notice all the different animals that caught this disease in the 10 plagues, in this particular plague. I mean, it was cows, and it was horses, and it was camels, and donkeys, and sheep. That word murrain is the same word as over in verse number 15 for pestilence. So they caught this pestilence. And then look down at verse number 8. Who caught the pestilence there? Did you notice it? Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take two handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil, breaking forth with blains, that's blisters, upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And so not only did the cattle have a pestilence, but now the humans, the Egyptians, had a pestilence. And they broke out in blisters all over their bodies. Talk about painful. This was a pestilence that they experienced. Now listen, here God was speaking to the Egyptians. And do you realize that at this point in time in history, the Egyptians were the most powerful nation on the planet at that point in time? Pharaoh was the most powerful secular politician on the planet at that time. They just had an incredible amount of power, an incredible amount of strength. And here, God comes in, and when God is done dealing with the Egyptians, Egypt is in shambles. Their military is destroyed. Remember what happened there when they crossed the Red Sea? Politically, their next pharaoh is dead. Economically, their entire empire is wiped out. Productively, all their grains, their herds, their flocks are dead. They're gone. They're wiped out with hail and all these other plagues here. I mean, to be honest, when the children of Israel left Egypt, Egypt was a ghost town. Egypt was a war zone. Egypt was broken. The most powerful nation on the planet at that time had been brought to their knees. And listen, that is God. God has that power. And he was there to say, listen, your idols aren't God. You as a nation aren't God. Your Pharaoh isn't God. All of the wonderful things you think that you can do are not God. I alone am God. And that is bringing glory to himself. And friend, listen, the most powerful and prosperous nations of the world have been brought to their knees by COVID-19. You take a nation like the United States of America that has probably arguably some of the best medicine on the planet. And yet we can't stop it instantly. In a matter of days, as we've talked about before, the entire sports industry is shut down. And here at this time of year in which the NBA finals should be gearing up and getting going, they're not. The idol of entertainment has been shut down. A robust economy has crumbled in a way that nobody saw coming. The idol of work and productivity and climbing the ladders and building your career was stopped as everybody was sent home practically overnight. People whose passion is to travel and see the world are quite literally grounded as, what is it, some 4% of people are actually flying compared to normal populations flying a year ago. And God just has brought down all those different idols to show in a very short amount of time, you're not God. And your idols aren't God, I'm God. That's what God does during pestilence. And listen, it doesn't matter if you're POTUS, the leader of the free world. He isn't God. He can't stop this. And it really isn't up to him to be able to open up an economy or close it down or whatever. He doesn't have all of that power. He might have plans. He might have ambitions and goals that he wants. But God is the one that sits on the throne this morning. And that's what pestilences do. They get people's eyes off themselves and off their idols and off their bank accounts and off their president, and they see how great God is. Have you ever done one of those things where you're on a computer and you start with maybe your address and you're looking at the little surveillance of your, the little picture, the aerial view, the satellite view of your house? And then you kind of start zooming out on it. And pretty soon you can see your whole neighborhood and everybody else's houses. And then you zoom out and you see your whole town. And a little farther you see your whole state. And by the time it's your state, can you see your house anymore? Usually not. You can't, unless you have a really big house, you can't see your house anymore by the time you're at the state level. There's a little red flag sometimes there if you've marked that location. And other than that, you wouldn't even know that your house exists. You're at the state level. Then you zoom out and you see the nation and then you see the continent and then you zoom out and you see the entire globe. Maybe you can zoom out if you have a particular program that allows you to zoom out farther, or other times you've seen space things and they see Earth off in a distance. Can you see your house then? No, you can't. And listen, that's what pestilence does. It causes us to zoom out and see how tiny we are so that we can see how great and wonderful our God is. And listen, that's what God does during pestilence. He causes himself to be glorified. Isn't that what God said in John 11 and verse 4? When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." That was Lazarus' sickness, was to glorify God. Or how about the man born blind in John chapter number 9? And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him." So God could be showed off in this man's life. Are you watching for areas in which God is being shown off through this pestilence? That's one thing that God teaches us in the Word of God here. That's one thing that chapter number 9, verses 14, 15, and 16 tell us. And so, let me ask you this question. Are your eyes more on God now than they were 2 months ago? Are your eyes more on the greatness of God and the goodness of God and the power of your God, the glory of God, than they were 2 months ago? Is God any more important to you than he was before? How is your life going to practically show that God is any more important to you? That you see him in a greater way instead of seeing all those other small things as you've zoomed out and seen the bigger picture of God? What's going to be different in your life that's going to show that God's any different? What's going to change in your week this week that shows that God is any bigger, any greater, any more glorious to you than he was before? Or Christian, let me ask you this. What are you doing to aid in God being glorified? Are you doing anything to help people to see the goodness of God and the greatness of your God during this time? What is God doing during pestilence? The first thing that we see from this passage is God always brings glory to himself during pestilence. Now let's look back at our text here again, and we're going to see a second truth. Now we see that God brought this pestilence upon the cattle of the Egyptians. What about the cattle of the Israelites? Verse 4, Exodus 9, verse 4. And the Lord said, sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. And so here's this pestilence, and it comes upon all the cattle of the Egyptians, and not one of the animals of the Israelites gets it and dies. Not one. Same thing happens with the boils and the blisters down in verses 8 and 9. It tells us here several different times in verse number 9. At the end of it, it says it's going to be throughout all the land of Egypt. In verse number 10, it tells us that that Moses did what he was told to do. And in verse number 11, the magicians couldn't stand before Moses because they're covered with the boils. And it's upon all the Egyptians. It's upon all of them. But we don't find anything said in this passage about it being upon the Israelites. And here's the truth that I want you to see. Here's how I'm going to say it. Number two, what is God doing in time of pestilence? God always gives grace to his people during pestilence. Now, God was doing a lot of things here. God was, for one thing, he was protecting the Israelites so that they didn't receive the consequence of this plague. But God was also showing that the Israelites were his people. And he was showing off God's power, that God could allow a pestilence to sweep through these cattle, but these cattle over here don't get it. And God could allow these people over here to get boils and blisters, and these people over here don't get it. God was showing off his glory, but God is also protecting his people and giving them grace. Our God is a God that can do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 9, in our growth groups this morning on Skype, we were even discussing this verse. This verse was mentioned where Paul records what God told him, that God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in, here's the word, weakness. The word weakness refers to infirmity and sickness as well. Not just weakness, that's part of it, but it can also be used to describe sickness and infirmity and disease. God's grace is enough in times of disease. God is giving grace. And listen, so many of us, so many of you listening know that you need God's grace during this time. There's some people listening that you need God's grace of provision financially for your family because you've lost hours, you've lost income. God always gives grace to his people during pestilence. Some others need grace to homeschool. Others need grace as siblings to live with their siblings as they're trapped in the same four walls day in and day out with their siblings. There are some seniors who maybe are struggling with their thought processes, and so all of this is very different for them to try to grasp that everything's shut down and the world isn't running the way it was running a month ago. And how do they function in this? They're confused. They need God's grace. Christians need God's grace to redeem the time. And listen, can I remind you, what was the issue that Paul was struggling with in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? It was a thorn in the flesh. It was a medical condition, it seems there. And in that time of a medical situation, God says to him, Paul, my grace is enough. And I want you to know that in times of sickness, God's word wants you to know that in times of pestilence, God is always giving grace to his people. It's there for you. It's provided for you if you'll simply take it.
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.